Looking for the perfect getaway in the heart of Utah's scenic beauty? Welcome to Mountain Valley RV Resort in the stunning Heber Valley, Utah's highest rated RV destination. Enjoy spacious RV sites, cozy cabins, and tent spots, all nestled against the stunning Rocky Mountains and shadow of Mount Timpanogos. Dive into heated pools, relax in hot tubs, or challenge friends on pickleball courts. Families love the playgrounds and sports courts, while adults can unwind in exclusive 21-plus areas featuring a luxurious clubhouse and spa. With top-notch amenities and breathtaking views, Mountain Valley RV Resort offers an unforgettable experience year-round. Whether you're seeking adventure or relaxation, Mountain Valley RV Resort is your home away from home. Book your stay today at mountainvalleyrv.com.
Well, hello again, and welcome to Reality TV. I am going to be very careful with my words this week because two things happen almost immediately after I released last week's episode. The first being, I found out that reindeer do indeed carry COVID. I think it was my dear friend Alex. I haven't met you in real life, but Alex, you got my back. After I was joking about reindeer carrying COVID and how depressing that would be, like, oh my God, all the shit we've been through in 2020, wouldn't that be wild if reindeer carry COVID? Yeah, Alex found out that they do indeed carry it. So I'm sorry, reindeer of the world, if I wished this upon you, if I sent this out into the universe and you caught it, I am really sorry. The second thing that honestly scared the shit out of me was that I found out that Netflix was releasing the series of Selena. I had just talked about how the movie Selena, or the soundtrack from the movie Selena starring J-Lo, it happens to play at all of the most important moments of my life. You can go back and listen to last week's episode. I won't go into it. But mere minutes, maybe an hour after I recorded that episode, I saw that Netflix was releasing this series. It's scary. It really is scary. And now I feel like, I don't know, maybe the big guy upstairs, maybe Oprah's listening to me and making these things happen. Now, with that said, I do have a prediction to make this week, but I'm going to briefly talk about Life After Lockup because I'm not doing a full recap. Reason being, nothing freaking happens. I'm really disappointed in this season. The only one who I'm really watching for at this point is Lindsay and Scott, and they weren't even in the last episode. If you're looking for a recap, here you go. Brittany goes to visit her mom and she's in the depths of addiction. It's really depressing. Michael and Sarah, same old, who cares? Chevelle and Urkel, same thing. Sean and Destiny. The entire episode is her not answering his phone calls. We're just seeing him dial her number and it go into voicemail. The highlight of the episode was one thing that Sean said. Was it in Destiny's elaborate plan to deceive me? Now, I don't know if he meant ultimate. I don't know if he meant she was adamant about something, but he said elaborate. Take from that what you will. I guess let me know if something happens with any of the other couples. Otherwise, I'm just going to be fast-forwarding to Scott and Lindsay, and we can chat about that. Now, let's talk about my prediction this week. And I'm going to warn you, it's very sick and twisted, but hear me out. Now, for years, we have been hearing about all these truly disgusting stories coming out about teachers having sex and grooming and raping their students. Let's just be honest here. I told you this is horrible, but I'm going to shine a light on this, a rainbow, if you will. I'm going to bring you some really good news because I predict there's going to be a drought for this type of crime. See, I told you this is good news. Think about this. Kids are not in school in most places in the country. And if they are online, that means they are on the grid now, motherfucker. And that means the teachers too. There's no sneaking around classrooms. And you can't go sneaking around making little Zoom calls to each other because school districts are keeping track of that shit. They know what you're doing on Google Classroom and all that. Plus, more of us parents are at home, so sneaking around is not as easy. What are you going to stay after school for when you're not even at school, right? Now, on the teacher's end, their spouses and their kids are home now, too. So how are you going to go hook up with Villy now, right, Mary Kay? R.I.P. Or not? I mean, well, I guess the jury is not really out anymore because she was found guilty, but you get the idea. So perhaps if there is one good thing to come out of COVID 2020, it's going to be a lot less Letourneauing. 99.9% of you teachers, I want you to know, I'm not calling you guys out here because you are goddamn heroes and saints, and there is a special place in heaven for you. I know that for sure. And it's going to be called Open Bar, this area of heaven. And if you're not a drinker, I'm going to make some calls. I'm going to pull some strings, and I'm going to make sure there is a huge germ-free buffet full of surf and turf or whatever vegan soy tofu shit people who don't eat meat and, I don't know, cheese eat. All of you, I'm going to wish a perfect metabolism as well. Now, I'm going to move on to this week's fun fact, and I'm going to play it safe here because I am really scaring myself lately. Did you know Missouri native John Hamm, you know, actor John Hamm, who packs a big old ham in his pants, he worked as a high school theater teacher for a year at the same school where Ellie Kemper went. You know, Ellie Kemper, she was on The Office, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Yeah, so he was her teacher. Good thing it was only for a year, because with that big Villy in his pants, he'd probably be getting into some Mary Kay Letourneau troubles of himself. Anyhow, the reason this kind of all ties together now with Ellie in the holiday season is because she is going to be starring in a Home Alone movie. And for my research, it got canceled or postponed because of COVID, but it's going to be a continuation of the franchise. I'm crossing my fingers they don't do like a reboot of it, you know, just a remaking the story, because you can't mess with Home Alone. It gets really tricky when you go into classic movies and you try to make it funnier or make it more of the generation. Vacation would be a really good example of that. I was not a big fan at all. However, if you are a big fan of Marriage Boot Camp or Real Housewives of Salt Lake City or HBO series The Undoing, you're going to want to check out Patreon this week, because we are going to be recapping all of those shows coming up this week on Total Request Podcast. I mean, my God, last week is going to be pretty hard to top because we recapped the episode of MTV's Fat Camp, and it was the one with Diane, Sweet Home Alabama. Is that ringing a bell? Petey, who's a freaking psychopath, you guys. I'm going to get PTSD even just thinking about this guy right now. But check out that episode that's on TRP. This week, we are, I got two really classic Christmas episodes. Tier one is South Park, Mr. Hankey. And at tier two, you'll get Mr. Hankey and Seinfeld, the Festivus episode. So check those out. Links are always in the show notes. But for now, let's get into some 90 Day Fiancé, the new season. Thank God for some new couples. Now, we actually have seven couples this season, but we only met four of them this week. So let me briefly go through who we did not see. We haven't seen Hazel and Tarek yet. We know them from a previous season. Their whole storyline is going to be Hazel moving to the U.S. with her son, Harry, and Hazel's bisexuality. And also, Tarek had a huge falling out with his brother, Dean. We also will meet Andrew, 32, Amira, 28. According to Us Weekly, Andrew and Amira connected immediately via online dating, and after one weekend in Las Vegas, he proposed to the France native. They were approved for the K-1 visa, but things get complicated since Amira must get into the U.S. before the visa expires and in the middle of a pandemic. We will also meet Stephanie, 52, and Ryan, 27. Stephanie is a businesswoman from Michigan who has never been in a serious relationship. However, when meeting Ryan, 27, in Belize, they connected so quickly that she thinks he is the one. Although they fight about his flirting and she supports him financially, they hope that when he comes to the U.S., everything will change. Don't they all? All right, so let's jump into this first episode, I Think You're My Future Wife. I want to talk about Brandon and Julia first because Brandon reminds me a lot of, what was his name? The one with Alexandra, the one from Russia, is like the Mormon kid who looks like Hilary Swank from Boys Don't Cry, or that movie, the 80s movie, Just One of the Guys. You know who I'm talking about. Doesn't matter what his name is. You get the idea. So Brandon, we learn, is from Dinwiddie, Virginia, because of course he is. And he is a pest control technician. And I tell you what, I was very concerned about the health of his lungs because he's breathing all that stuff in a closed space with no mask. But all those chemicals he's spraying around every day, I'll take some of it because it's working miracles on his skin. Give me a jar of that, just size of a dime, I bet. Rub that on every other night in place of retinol and boom, 2 weeks, peaches and cream skin. I mean, just look at him. Obviously, it works. It's a way cheaper alternative to laser resurfacing or whatever they do at those expensive med spas. He looks gorgeous, stunning. Think about Oscar season. He can make a killing if he were to repackage some of this stuff and sell it to celebrities or me. And I'm pretty confident I could get a group bulk discount rate if you guys wanted to try it with me. So maybe I'll reach out to him. But let's learn a little bit more about him first. Brandon is not only into the pest control industry, he's also the heir to a German Shepherd breeding empire. So he's just like sowing his wild orchid oats right now. His real dream is to take over the farm and to breed German Shepherds. And he's going to learn the ways to do this from his mom and dad, who currently own the farm. Their names are Ron and Betty, and I'm 76% sure they are brother-sister twins. They look so much alike, and they're so cute, and they're so excited to show us that they know what a fist bump is. It was adorable. Now, Brandon's fiance, Julia, we don't get to meet her in person yet, but we know she's from Russia, and they met when Brandon was talking to a friend on FaceTime, and Julia was in the background go-go dancing. I know, tale as old as time, and before you know it, Brandon, just like his puppies, went into his first heat, and it was love at first sight, according to him. So he flies to meet her, and then they go on another trip to Iceland. He pays for her ticket to go. He proposes there with what looks like a pretty solid ring, but who knows if it's an actual diamond. Doesn't really matter because there's more. He also flew out with his parents to meet Julia and her parents in, it was either Italy or France. And already I was racking up that total in my mind, wondering how the hell Benjamin Button could afford all this on his Orkin salary, you know? And no surprise, we find out he can't. So already I was getting an Anfisa and G-rated George vibes with these two, which, by the way, I just read this morning that George has a little George on the way, a little bundle of George. I actually get Anfisa vibes from Julia because she's not going to be content living in Dimwitty or Dinwaddle, Danville, wherever the hell they are. She's used to being out in the clubs all night. You know, she's a professional dancer. She's not going to be loving waking up at the crack of dawn, milking cows and going to check on those poor little puppies that are in the cage, right? And then add in living with Brandon's parents, and this just has disaster written all over it. And if you noticed, in quite a few of Brandon's talking heads, he's wearing a different colored shirt and his eyes are bloodshot and it looks like he was just crying. So I'm pretty sure he gets his heart broken at some point. And speaking of breaking hearts, when Betty and Ron were talking to Brandon about his sex life, my heart was breaking because I was imagining having to have this kind of conversation with my son, my little googie bear someday. And I just can't bear the thought of him growing up. Now, I hated the fact that they were having this discussion with their 27-year-old son. It would be much more admirable, and I would respect the conversation much more if he were, like, let's say 17. But 27, now you're getting into that uncomfortable, culty Debbie kind of thing, you know? And then when Betty crossed, not even crossing the line, she crossed international borders when she called a gynecologist to talk about her son's fiance's vagina, that's not being helpful. Or maybe it'd be helpful if Brandon was 16 and this perhaps under very special circumstances, his girlfriend needed help. She didn't have a mother figure. Maybe this would be okay. But the fact that Brandon is almost 30 years old and his girlfriend is very well capable of taking care of her own vagina and her own uterus, that was in no way appropriate. Now, I do not buy for a moment that Brandon is sincerely troubled by his mom or his parents' behavior because he invites them to become too involved. He's okay with his mom and dad picking Julia up from the airport with him because he'll get a free hotel room. That's not a perk. That's not a bonus where you're going to have to go sightseeing with them the next day. No woman on this planet is looking forward to tagging along with Betty and Ron as they strap on their fanny packs and their Skechers shape-ups to go touring around D.C. He is out of his goddamn mind. And I don't blame Julia if she's going to lose her shit at him. It's absolutely crazy. And if he cannot afford a Holiday Inn Express in the greater D.C. area, then he should not be getting married at all. And maybe I'll come to hate Julia, but right now, I'm not falling for that little flawless, highly exfoliated, perfectly soft baby butt cheek skin. I'm not buying it. Nope. All right, you ready to meet up with our old pal Mike, or Big Mike from Squim, as most people know him? And unfortunately, he's still with Natalie, the exhausting, spoiled, I will not be ignored, Dan, Natalie. If you're like me, you probably had a little PTSD seeing her skipping through the streets and holding his hand. She's just so immature. Remember her pouting and crying to her mom all the time? She was playing hide-and-go-seek, and then the first time he came to the airport, she hopped herself on his luggage and was pretending like she couldn't be seen. Oh, God. And that dumb pout. She's still doing it. You would think after she saw herself for an entire season doing that look down and then look up with her eyes thing, like you would see in a Britney Spears Instagram post where she's screaming for help, which, by the way, we got to talk about this whole Britney Spears thing. But she is still doing that stuff because she is the girl, we all know her, and hopefully you are not her, the girl that loves the breakup makeup crap. You know, most women have left that stage far behind in their teenage years, but Natalie's still in it. Like, she thinks it's really cute for her to be sad and to make men like Mike fall for her because she needs them. I need you. Are you going to be nice to me? Ugh. But despite all of this, despite knowing all of this and seeing it and having thousands of people on social media tell you she's batshit crazy, Mike is still with her. I mean, he's going through with the K1 with her, even though he's clearly miserable. He looked depressed when she called him and said that she got approved. Most of us would be devastated if our boyfriend or fiance, whatever, were to react like that. He said, and I quote, "Ugh, really?" If you broke some good news to someone, that's not the reaction that you're expecting, but not Natalie. She doesn't care because it's all about Natalie all the time. It doesn't even enter her radar that Mike can't even fake a smile. I mean, the bitch is crazy. All she's doing is whispering and blowing kisses. And I'm just going to throw this out there. Not that I wish this upon anyone because cats terrify me, but cats are smart and they pick up on people's vibes. And I bet, I'll throw this in as another prediction, I bet Mike's little cat starts pissing on her pillow within hours of her getting there. And she deserves it because she's telling Mike that she doesn't want Uncle Bojangles living there because he's a stranger to her. Okay, first of all, anyone with common sense wouldn't want to get with you. Your freaking fiance doesn't even want to be with you anymore. And Bojangles was theirs first, okay? Finders, keepers, losers, weepers with the sad eyes. That's such bullshit. And she didn't pick up on the fact that that was actually hurting Mike's feelings, her saying he can't live there, and then the, will you be nice to me? What is that? He's been very nice to you. I'm sure he's paying for her to be traveling back and forth, and he's been traveling back and forth. He's done nothing but try to make it easy for her, and just because he's got the littlest bit of a backbone, she's being a freaking psycho. Ugh, he needs to move on from her, but before he does that, let's see them crash and burn before the season's over. And speaking of crashing and burning, already in the first episode, let's meet Yara and Jovi, the couple I think most of us are most excited about. And it's because Jovi's mouth. Let's just talk about it. Let's get it out there. He has a very aggressive mouth. His teeth look like he was a thumb sucker, which, you know, is fine. But his cockiness and his arrogance just make his mouth stand out even more. He's got like jaws of a shark. You don't want him biting down accidentally on something because those teeth, they could penetrate corrugated steel roofing. He also looks like he was born in the wrong decade because he's only 29, but he looks like he went to high school with me in the 90s. He also strikes me as a doppelganger for, or should I say, the love child of Tim Curry and Chris Frangiola. You know the comedian Chris Frangiola? There's something very similar about the look of those three. Maybe they're related somewhere down the line. But anyhow, Jovi lives in New Orleans. Maybe he should have gone on Married at First Sight, come to think of it, or not, because he kind of seems like a dick already. He's got a pretty badass job, though, makes a good living. He dives underwater and fixes electronics or shit, underwater electrician, engineer, something like that. He can afford to travel, drink whenever he wants. He's meeting girls left and right because he's swiping left and right as he travels all over the world. And that's fine, unless you're going to be an asshole about it, which it seems like he is. But maybe he's getting a taste of his own medicine. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself here. He met Yara on this dating app when he's traveling everywhere. And of course, she's blonde and she's Ukrainian. And according to Jovi, they have a lot in common and that's why they fell in love. I do believe they have a lot in common, but not, you know, their favorite author, their favorite book or prose. They both enjoy looking at her. She likes looking at herself in the mirror, objectifying herself. That they definitely have in common. Well, one thing led to another. Lots of vacations and really narrow-cut swimsuits that barely cover her crotch. And Yara gets pregnant. Oh, God. So then Jovi decides that he's going to propose underwater, murder plot. While she's pregnant, by the way, like, is that even allowed? Pretty sure you're not supposed to scuba when you're pregnant. But anyway, he brings her below sea level. I don't like any of this. I don't think most women would want to be asked while they have a head underwater with a tank over it. You know, how do you answer? Blah, 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 yes. I hate the whole thing. But we find out she said yes. She has a miscarriage shortly thereafter. But Jovi figures, what the hell? We've been together 2 years. I might as well marry her. Even though he's going to be pulling a Tanya. He's going to be there for like 2 weeks when she gets to the States, and then he's taking off for a month. Very Tanya and St. John. I don't understand what the whole rush of this is. If he's got all this money, why doesn't he just keep going to see her until it's a better time? But a lot happened in the last like 35 seconds of seeing these two together. Jovi goes to pick her up at the airport, but first he's got to get flowers because she commanded him to do so. Wouldn't it not mean as much if you receive flowers simply because you told that person to complete the errand for you? Not an unexpected gesture, a nice thing from their heart. And I hate to point this out because, I mean, the bouquet was gorgeous and that florist did a beautiful job, but the two eucalyptus leaves, they needed to be shortened just a touch. And the rule of three, you know, there were just two sprigs sticking out like horns. And you kind of need three of them to balance it out. But maybe them being horns were foreshadowing. We see the wheels come off immediately. Yara comes down the escalator. She's got this smirk on her face, a fresh DIY ombre, no bueno. And immediately Her voice did not match her body. I was not expecting that at all. She's more of an alto down here like I am than a soprano that you would pair with her slight frame in the photos that we saw. You know what I'm saying? And man, she is in no mood either. Her voice is down here and so is her mood. Their chemistry is just off. I'm sure it's there sexually, but personality-wise, it's not there. And I really think I rewatched it because I feel like all of us know A. Jovi. The moment that Yara made him feel like less than a man because he picked the wrong flights, he was just being cheap, I think he decided right then he was over it. He was over her. He didn't want to do this. And he himself said, no one can make him do anything. He's going to do what he wants to do, which really means he's got a super fragile ego and no one can tell him what to do. Paired with a hair trigger temper from what we see, and there's this possibility of alcoholism that they're peppering in here and there. They're giving us clues and hints that we're going to find out that he's an alcoholic. So put all of that together, there's no way in hell Jovi is going to allow Yara to make him feel inferior to her. You know, it's like two alpha dogs that are in this relationship, and it's just never going to work that way. You know, he's used to being on his own, being kind of selfish. She's probably used to being on her own, just getting the financial gain from someone else, not having to give emotionally to the other person at all. That said, even though she might not be the nicest person that we've seen so far, Jovi's an idiot for assuming anyone is going to want to go party all night after flying for 30 plus hours. That's just stupid. And even if he was dumb and just didn't think about it, he's hearing her say, I don't want to go out. At that point, you just put your hands up and be like, oh, okay, that was stupid. I'm just going to go with the flow. You'd think he'd want to be alone with her, if anything, not go out and party. But maybe that is just the alcohol. I don't know. These two are going to be oil and water for sure. You know, they probably thought that they were sort of in love because they're on these nice vacations and they're having sex a lot. And they're thinking real life is going to replicate this vacation life. And as we all know, that doesn't work ever. They're not even out of the airport and they're already arguing. It's going to be fantastically entertaining to watch. Now, Rebecca and Ziad.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
First of all, Rebecca looks fantastic. I think she's so pretty. And for some reason, I've always liked Rebecca. She does seem like a really hard worker. She's not a PI anymore. She's a GM of a chicken takeout restaurant. It looks like a pretty rough job. I know GMs work their ass off. I love her. However, I don't love that she is still with Ziad. That I want to kiss you now stuff that he does. It's scary. I wouldn't even want videos from my own children like that. And he still looks the same. He still looks like a Yeti, still looks like the abominable snowman from Rudolph. And 'tis the season. That's like the theme for this episode. Didn't even mean that. But he's got a new nickname and it is Z-Yeti. I know. I'm probably the only one who finds that enjoyable, but he looks like a Yeti and I'm calling him Z-Yeti. Now, these two, I don't anticipate being that entertaining to watch because the stakes aren't that high, you know? Like, Ziyadi's sister doesn't approve of the marriage, but who cares? She's got her own life. She's not going to be living here. She can get over it. The only one I'm really worried about is Rebecca's daughter. More than anyone, this girl has been through it. Whether she's an adult or, I don't know, 18, 19, however old she is, it doesn't matter. She's always the child. And the fact that her mom has been through three marriages, the last one almost identical to this situation, that's asking a lot of her to just go with the flow on this one and to trust Ziad. And right away, Rebecca should know something is off or have some reflection upon her soul to realize that her picker is broken, Ziad is already saying, before he's even gotten there, that he's worried about his comfort level in her daughter's apartment. But not like most of us would be. You know, most of us would be worried about moving in and imposing or making our hosts uncomfortable in their own home since we are imposing upon them. But no, no, no. Ziadi is worried about his hosts offending him, making him comfortable. Rebecca, wake the hell up. Ziad is a grown man. Being conservative or being Muslim is not an excuse for being a selfish weirdo. I don't like this at all. And I don't trust Rebecca with her own heart. God, it sounds like really codependent. Like I'm staying up at night. I can't sleep because I'm worried about Rebecca. She just seems like she could do a lot better than freaking Ziad, man. Come on. He just wants to come here and wear his leather jacket and think he's the long-lost member of Nickelback. Ugh. All right, now it's time for your weekly Would You Rather. And one of them actually does involve Ziad. Would you rather go on a couples therapy retreat with Mike and Natalie, just you, your partner, Mike and Natalie, or share a black leather jacket with Ziad while he mansplains things to you so much as you walk around, get ready for it, an indoor mall. Yeah. Couples retreat with Mike and Natalie, a therapist, and you and your partner all weekend. Maybe girls share a bunk, boys share a bunk, or share a black leather jacket with Ziad. Like he's lending you his leather jacket and he's going to mansplain so much everything to you as you walk around an indoor mall. I don't know if I would wear that leather jacket. I say I'm going to go on a couples retreat with Mike and Natalie because at least I'd have some really good stories coming out of that. If I were to share a leather jacket with Ziad, oh, I feel like it would just smell like halitosis and Axe body spray. And him mansplaining anything to me, no, sir, I would not be able to stomach it. I'd come up with a quick right hook to his fucking face, knock those huge lips right off. I just scared myself. Jesus. I get really violent. I swear I'm not like this in real life. I'm the mom from the Goldbergs, actually, as Amanda keeps telling me. And speaking of Amanda, if you guys are looking for some more things to listen to, head on over to Patreon. We got Marriage Boot Camp coming up this week. We're going to be talking about HBO's The Undoing. And we're probably going to be talking about that movie Run as well. Also, every week we are covering the latest episodes of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. And December 20th is the premiere for TLC's Unexpected, and we are going to start covering that as well. So if you're at Tier 1, you are still going to get your Teen Mom 2 crossovers, Marriage Boot Camp, and now you'll be getting Unexpected as well. Tiers 2 and up, you get all the extras, Real Housewives. When we talk about our documentaries like The Undoing, or that's a movie, but you guys get the idea. Check that out. That's at patreon.com/lovetohateTV and Total Request Podcast this week. Really good. I'm excited. Amanda's going to be leading the episode of South Park, Mr. Hankey, and I'm going to be leading the episode, which we are recording on Tuesday, Seinfeld's Festivus episode. So check those out. Thank you guys so much for listening. Please head on over to your iTunes podcast app and click the 5 stars. Even if you don't leave a written review, those little 5 stars mean so, so much, and I appreciate it. Take care of yourselves. Please wear a mask. Check on the people you love. Remind them to wear a mask. Let's knock this shit out already. I'll talk to you guys next week. Stay salty.